Many jobs around the world are awful. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Jobs are central to well-being around the world, and many of those jobs don't cut it, and they're vulnerable to robots, to automation, and to technology. My colleague Anu Anand in the BBC Newsroom in London has been looking at a new report on the global jobs market. Hello there.
Hi, David.
So a key takeaway is people may have jobs, but a lot of those jobs rather stink.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. The International Labor Organization report this morning, first of all, just says that the global unemployment rate is 5%. It also talks about the fact that the 3.3 billion people who are employed globally, they're just not earning enough. They don't have economic security. It says that new technologies are going to undermine the kinds of labor standards and protections that we have got. Of course, you already hear that a lot with things like AI and driverless technology. It talks about poverty, hundreds of millions of people still living in extreme or moderate poverty despite having jobs. And it says we're not addressing the gender gap still. So women are still more likely to be underemployed.
All right. So a report that has the statement of the problem, any ways forward to improve livelihoods?
That's exactly what I was thinking as I read it. And basically what it's saying is that moving towards a green economy is going to create jobs at a global level, up to 18 million jobs. And that figure includes the jobs that would be lost as we make that transition. So it's a net gain. It says that if you move towards a circular economy, so you buy something, but then you repair it, you reuse it, that also creates jobs.
Anu Anand, both Marketplace and BBC, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
The markets are open, and we find the major stock indices in the U.S. all up 0.5%, plus 129 points. On the Dow, the benchmark 10-year interest rate is up 2.72%. Now to Susan Schmidt, senior portfolio manager at Aviva Investors, with today's Consumer Price Index hot in hand. Hello.
Good morning.
I didn't see any inflation in the Consumer Price Index today. It covers January.
No, you're going to have to look really hard to find even a hint of it. If we did X food and energy, the CPI increase year over year is about 2.2%. Estimates were 2.1%. But that's stripping out a lot of stuff. Remember that energy with gas prices low is a big help to the consumer. And we're not seeing signs of inflation. I think that's one of the reasons that the Fed has been very clear in their messaging that we used to be tied to inflation all the time. They're not looking at just inflation anymore. They're looking at a lot of other factors to understand what's going on, because inflation just isn't there.
All right. Market conventional wisdom. A shutdown Friday?
Looking like may not happen. The market's feeling pretty good about being able to miss this hurdle and just go on with business as usual.
How about U.S.-China trade talks going on in Beijing?
Market thinks that there's some positive news coming out of the conversations between Trump and Xi. They think there's going to be some sort of reconciliation, and there'll be a resolution here. And that's where we're seeing this positive upswing in the market lately. Those two overhangs are fading away.
And need we mention that sometimes the market is wrong? Susan Schmidt at Aviva Investors, thank you.
Thank you.
And some clever devils have figured out that on some flights, you can save money by booking a connecting destination, but just getting off the flight after the first leg. This annoys airlines. Lufthansa of Germany had sued a passenger seeking nearly $2,400 in damages after the flyer paid for a cheap ticket from Seattle to Oslo via Frankfurt, but got out at Frankfurt. A lower court found in favor of the passenger, but Lufthansa is now appealing. As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is able to do what we do every day thanks to funding from public radio stations, foundations, corporate underwriters, and listeners like you. Thank you to all the Marketplace investors who've contributed over the last year for helping keep public service journalism strong. All of us really appreciate your support.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Some doctors argue fad diets are problems in themselves, but as business reporters, sometimes we note fads because that's where the money flows. Today, a moment on what is called the Nordic diet, Scandi cooking with more vegetables, especially root vegetables. The lingonberry is featured, so is local sourcing, even foraging. John Lawrenson reports from Copenhagen.
All right.
In her Copenhagen restaurant, Hanneman's Kuchen, Danish chef Trine Hanneman takes off her rings, preparing to make a vegged-up version of an old Danish dish called biksemad.
This is a very simple meal, and it's actually leftover food. But it's like all the little pieces of vegetables that's lying very lonely in the bottom of your refrigerator, you know, in that vegetable drawer.
I know what you're saying.
So today we have half an onion, some carrot and some celeriac, potatoes, and garlic.
All, of course, grown in the Copenhagen area.
If you change your diet to more vegetables and much less meat and dairy, you will feel better. The framework that I work from is something that I call 80-20. So 80% should come from plant-based food and 20% should come from animals. And that is also the milk in your latte.
The Nordic diet was launched in 2004 by the founders of Copenhagen's Michelin-starred restaurant Noma. Hanneman is famous for her cookbooks, including one called The Nordic Diet. Another guide, The Nordic Way, now also published in English, was co-written by Copenhagen University nutrition professor Arne Astrup in collaboration with a supermarket chain. Both aim to show that eating like this is easy. Astrup says his book
sold about 250,000 copies in Denmark, which is quite amazing. But, you know, all the dishes is made in a way so you can get everything in the local supermarket. So there's nothing sophisticated where you have to go out and find it in the forest.
The popularity of the Nordic diet means stores are stocking more local produce. Oats, for example. I counted 7 varieties of homegrown oats in one supermarket.
It looks nice, right?
Very nice.
And not just single varieties of carrot or turnip, but several. The Danes are getting back to their roots, literally. In Copenhagen, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
And the former chairman of Nissan Motors of Japan, Carlos Ghosn, under arrest for alleged financial wrongdoing since November, has hired a famous Japanese lawyer to represent him. The lawyer is known as The Razor. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.